540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Congressional leaders are aiming to get a debt deal done by the end of the week after their meeting today with President Biden. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio is in Washington.
It is possible to get a deal by the end of the week. It's not that difficult to get to an agreement.
The leaders are honing in on possible areas of agreement, including rescinding unspent COVID relief money and areas where there's a wider gap, like beefing up work requirements for government aid recipients and student debt relief.
It was a good and productive meeting. Everyone agreed that default would be the worst outcome.
And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen agrees.
A default could cause widespread suffering as Americans lose the income they need to get by.
She says default could lead to a recession. Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett slammed House Republicans today about their efforts to combat crime while allowing George Santos to keep his seat.
But have they exhibited any courage to say, you know what, we will disallow this in our body. We will make sure that we expel this individual. They have not.
Santos was indicted on 13 federal crimes last week. Democrats have moved to force a vote on his expulsion. Rudy Giuliani is denying sexual assault claims by a former employee. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
It's a $10 million lawsuit filed by his former employee, Noel Dunphy, who was hired in 2019. Dunphy alleges that Giuliani would often take performance-enhancing drugs and expose himself. Dunphy says she has photos, texts, and recordings.
Police in New Mexico still don't have a motive for yesterday's shooting in Farmington, but say the 18-year-old gunman had a history of mental health issues. Deputy Police Chief Kyle Dowdy.
We have come across some indication that potentially he had some mental health issues, and that's through interviews with involved parties in his life. It's about as far as I can go on that, but there have, in subsequent interviews, there have been some concern about his mental health.
He killed three people while randomly shooting at homes and cars. The creators of ChatGPT want Congress to crack down on AI. CEO Sam Altman.
I think if this technology goes wrong, it can go quite wrong. And we want to be vocal about that. We want to work with the government to prevent that from happening.
Well, in case you missed it, the Philadelphia 76ers have fired coach Doc Rivers. The move comes days after Philly lost to the Boston Celtics in its third straight exit in the second round of the playoffs.
Are you planning to be the coach of the team next year?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got 2 years left.
At the time, he also said no one is safe in the NBA. Today, the team thanked Doc, but said the change was necessary to play for a championship. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Transform yourself and your fitness routine with Soulful Fitness in Brown Deer. With 25 years of experience, Lisa and her team at Soulful Fitness offer personal training in a variety of classes, including nutrition, kickboxing, boot camps, and yoga. You'll find a private, personalized atmosphere that caters to all fitness levels, from personal training sessions to virtual classes and everywhere in between. For fitness that's personal, visit soulfulfitness.com. That's SOLFUL fitness.com.
North Shore Healthcare is hiring. As the largest provider of post-acute care in Wisconsin, they offer skilled nursing and assisted living services, as well as home health and hospice care through North Shore at Home. They're looking for compassionate individuals who want to make a difference in the lives of those they serve. If you're a CNA, licensed nurse, administrator, or business professional and want to grow your career, visit nshorehc.com/careers to find out why North Shore Healthcare is the right choice for you.
How are you keeping your kids occupied this summer? River West Outdoor Educational Adventures offers activities featuring bike rides, canoeing, rock climbing, hiking, and more for kids in the greater Milwaukee area. They also offer these activities for adults, families, and groups.
This sounds awesome. How can we sign up?
To sign up or request more info, call River West Outdoor Educational Adventures at 414-263-4877. 414-263-4877.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Henny Cutter, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, I am so, I don't know how many souls I can say, so happy to have Madonna Thunderhawk on today's show. A warrior woman, a documentary with her in it just recently, the last few years. But I just can go on and on about Madonna. She's been an activist for many years. She was at Alcatraz. She's a part of the Red Power movement. On and on and on, you know, it's part of the American Indian movement, was at Wounded Knee. Madonna, are you there? I just want to go on and on. Oh, she's not there. Oh, okay. Hold on a second, Madonna. I think I do not have you hooked up on my phone here. Sorry. Just give me 1 second. Where is the settings on here? Bluetooth is on. Let's go to the Rodecaster. And are you there, Madonna? It's
not picking up anything.
Okay. Oh, there you are. I can hear you. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I can hear you guys talking.
Right on. Hey, I really, really appreciate you coming on, and it's a huge deal for me to have you here. You are a warrior woman. You're original OG, and it's just really exciting to have you on. Talk to our audience a little bit about where you are and who you are just a little bit, and I know that's one of the things that's really hard for you because you are humble in what you've done. But every time I see you, I just smile because of the greatness and that you've been fighting for our people for a long time and still are. So I just want to welcome you and just think about that for a second.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear. You know, this is kind of exciting for me because it's good, to, especially if you know your audience is Native, too, you know, so that's always good.
Right on. So we can just have a conversation and talk like nobody else is listening. And last time I saw you was down at Wounded Knee, And the celebration of the occupation was 50 years. And it was pretty exciting because there was a lot of people that showed up that you hadn't seen in many years. And sometimes you didn't know they were in the camp with you at Wounded Knee. That kind of blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was a lot of us, you know, people coming and going. And it was a different mindset, different, you know, atmosphere at the time, you know. And you didn't ask people their name unless they told you, you know. Yeah. You didn't get familiar with people because the powers that be, specifically the feds, you know, came down hard on anybody back in those days, you know, anybody that was doing anything. We watched it all happen to other populations, specifically the Black Panthers of the day, you know, and also the anti-war movement. You know, they were all real young people, mostly college students, and we watched it all happen to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew what we were in for.
Yeah.
So we had to be real careful, you know, real careful about.
Yeah. And, you know, you had an issue, too, that you had to be low profile at Wounded Knee, too. You could not be seen because you weren't supposed to be there, correct?
Yeah. I wasn't supposed to be there. Yeah, I got arrested with some other women the first night, you know. They were, I don't know what they were. I don't know what they were called at the time, but they were blue jumpsuits, and they were some kind of, you know, federal, I don't know.
Oh, the maybe AFCA, Fire and Arms, or those people,
Tobacco
Fire and Arms, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, and they were blocking all the roads in and out of Wounded Knee, and, you know, just so... Yeah, they stopped us and arrested. Not only us, the other cars. They were just stopping everybody and arresting everybody. So,
wow. So
we were in Wounded Knee. Well, we were on our way, you know, on one of the back roads because we were trying to help people leave that had come with, that were following us and that were local and following us in a caravan. So when we realized we were under fire, we were trying to get them home, you know, saying go home, you know. So they were... asked us to check out that back road. And sure enough, there they were. So, yeah, we went to jail the first night.
Well, that's crazy. And then also, too, I found out during this weekend of celebrating Wounded Knee, the 50th anniversary, was that it wasn't really planned, or people didn't know that you were going to Wounded Knee, like some have suggested. You guys were caravanning and protesting, and then all of a sudden, you ended up in Wounded Knee. Was that kind of accurate? What happened?
Yeah, you know, actually, there was no protest. Okay, we were invited by several communities on the Pine Ridge Reservation to come. Because we were located at the time in Rapid City, and there was a core group of American Indian Movement of us that traveled around because people were contacting us and from all over Indian country, all over the, you know, northwest, southwest, wherever, mm-hmm. to come to their community so they could tell us what was going on, you know, in their community and stuff. And yet, you know, people that don't know, back in those days, there wasn't any organized, there wasn't any place to go if you had problems in your community. There was no voice. Our people didn't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
There was no voice, in other words. So when things were, you know, corruption and all that was happening, they just had no place to complain, you know?
Right.
That was why the American Indian Movement was so effective, because we would go to their community, you know, and we'd listen, and we'd stay there and listen to everybody had a chance to tell their story, you know, so, and that had happened before. So anyway, so we were on our way from one community to the next, and we just happened to be driving through Wounded Knee on our way to the next community of Porcupine,
mm-hmm.
who expected us for that evening. And we got started pulling into Wounded Knee, and then we could hear gunfire.
Wow.
So we knew we were under, you know.
Yeah, under attack. That's just say yeah, it, right?
So the caravan was long, a lot of people, you know. So what was happening up front, no cell phones or nothing in those days, you know. Just runners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, I was in the middle of the caravan. So, you know, we didn't know what was going on in front of us or behind us, you know. So it was just, we just had to wait to hear from, you know, the word of mouth. And they did have some runners that would come and let us know what was going on.
Well, cool. Hey, Madonna, we got to take a quick commercial break. Please stay with us because I want to get deep into that, and I want to talk about what you've been doing. And I really, really appreciate you being on, and I want to take a quick commercial break here. And, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with the big OG, Madonna Thunderhawk. I'm so happy to have her on here. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO. Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are. And hey, we are here with Madonna Thunderhawk, a warrior woman, a veteran of Alcatraz, veteran of protests at Mount Rushmore, survival school starter, you know, Wounded Knee. We can go on and on. Dakota Access Pipeline, Line 3. You are where the action is. Madonna Pinigee, thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, let's talk a little bit more about what we were talking about at the end there, and that was Wounded Knee, that you came to Wounded Knee. It wasn't a protest. You showed up, and then people started shooting at you, and you guys ended up occupying Wounded Knee because that area, the people there, needed help and support from the American Indian Movement, and you were riding with them back then.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just, you know, on our way to the to the community of Porcupine. And, yeah, we were attacked as we were going through the village of Wounded Knee.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then you were there the whole 73 days?
Yeah, well, I got arrested the first night, so we were in jail a couple of nights. And then my parents came and bailed me out. And the judge said, now you take her home. Don't let her go back down there. Talking like I was a kid, you know. And so I was standing there smiling and shaking my head. So then bought a bunch of ammo and headed back down to Wounded Knee.
That's amazing. Do you feel like at that time and in thinking back that you were part of a big history that we still talk about in the Native community revere in 50 years? Did you think that was happening, or were you just doing what was in front of you, like you had prior actions?
Yeah, it's just things were just happening. You know, everything was spontaneous. It seemed, you know. Things just happened. We didn't plan. You know, there was no time to plan. You know, it's just that's just how things happened back then. Because we were you know, community based. We were families, basically. The American Indian Movement was made up of families. You know, and everybody had relatives everywhere, and you know, so it was just kind of like a continuation of issues, you know, that we knew that our parents and grandparents put up with, you know. And so it wasn't anything new. It's just that we were young at the time, you know, and it was our way of dealing with, how, you know, the circumstances and stuff. So I think that that's the thing that's interesting to me today, and I'm still in it. You know, here I am in my 80s now, and I'm still, you know, a part of it, because our situation as Native people, you know, land-based people, we're very unique in all of this struggle, you know, and it's not just demonstrations, and it's not just, you know, one issue oriented where we do a few marches or demonstrations. You know, it's actual nation-to-nation status with the United States government and American Indian policy through their various setup of government, you know, the way the government runs. So our issues don't change. It's just the tactics and the responses that change with the generations, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, it's just amazing to look back at that time and the things that you did and the nonchalantness that I feel that you are, the humility, because you guys were doing what was in front of you in a good way. And, I mean, we look at it now, we're not where we want to be, but compared to 1968, 69 with Alcatraz, it's almost night and day with all the hard work that you and all the people that you were with and still with that paved the way for us. Because I feel like, you know, when I go to a protest, I put my AIM jacket on and people take notice because of the great work that you guys did back in the day, and the legacy and the good things that you guys did back in the day.
I know. Sometimes we look back on it, you know, I think, wow, you know what? Ooh, we did that, you know? I think, oh my gosh. Of course, we were young. You know, when you're young, you're invincible, you know? Just, you know, lead, follow, or get out of the way, you know?
Yeah. That's a good one. Hey, just to back up a second in Alcatraz. So what was a young John Trudeau like back then? Did you have much interaction with him at Alcatraz?
Well, actually, he's the one that recruited me and a couple other people when he came. He was part of Alcatraz and had been going on for a year. And he came to the Black Hills, came to Mount Rushmore when we were up occupying the faces. He showed up, you know. So then we were talking with him, and we had been out in the Bay Area before, you know, a couple of years before. So we were kind of familiar, you know, about what was going on and everything. And then he asked us if we would be interested in coming and to help help with reestablishing some kind of community out there, you know, because the press and all the movie stars and celebrities, everybody had left, you know.
Yeah.
So there was just this core group of people that were, and most of them were real young, you know. So he said, you know, and at that time, I was 1970, I was 30 years old, you know, I was one of the old guys. So, you know, it was like, you know, yeah, we'll go, you know, and so we did. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know.
What a electric feeling of just doing that. Again, you were in Alcatraz and doing that where we were really, you know, the Red Power movement, I believe, was happening more than AIM. I think Red Power movement was more prevalent. And you guys were just doing it. It's crazy. Yeah, I, you know, I'm in awe here to talk. Probably people can tell that I'm in awe and I'm just mumbling here, but I'm talking to history like yourself, and then you're so, it's hard to believe that you're 80 something too, because I always kid you when I see you. I saw you a few years when I went out with Clyde Belcourt to one of the anniversaries of Alcatraz, and you were not that long ago, you were on a horse. So it's like, what the heck? I'm afraid of that horse, and we got this OG on this horse here. It was just amazing.
Yeah, well, my family, they ride, you know, with the riders. There's several other rides that happen, at, you know, like the Bigfoot ride and different stuff, you know. So they said, yeah, well, we've got a couple extra here. So my friend and I, she was with me in Wounded Knee. She was Andrea Rabideau. She was one of the medics also. And she was super riding. Well, we grew up riding horse, you know, in our day, you know. So they said, yeah, there's a couple extra here. So we said, okay, good. So we hopped on.
That was awesome. You know, just thinking about back to Wounded Knee and the people, the characters that you've met during the occupation and before and after, I always say this because I'm a real big supporter of Warrior Woman. And then you're in that documentary along with your daughter and a few other people. And it kind of focuses on your travel. So if anyone is out there, definitely purchase, go to warriorwomen.com and get your DVDs, because it's a compelling story. And you know what? You were one of the first two to start a survival school, and I think that's just an amazing thing. Because I know we've had the Red Schoolhouse here in the Twin Cities, and they tried that too up here. But you were in there doing it, and one of the leaders. And how did that come about? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but let our audience out there know how that came about. This school for Native Americans.
Well, you know, it started out we didn't even think about, you know, having a school or anything like that. But after Wounded Knee, the AIM, the local, you know, group, anyway, they all decided, well, you know, we need to ask, you know, let's ask Madonna if she'll be a liaison between the legal committee and the local defendants and the local Indian community in Rapid City. So I said, sure, because I was a defendant anyway. I was one of the first ones to go on trial, you know. So I said, sure, I will. So I had my children with me. And my son, who happened to, he was 10 years old, who happened to be in Wounded Knee with me, he said, Mom, he said, we should have our own school. I don't want to go to the school here. So I said, well, I don't want you to go there either, you know. And I thought, well, okay, because I noticed we had a lot of young people kind of hanging around the legal office, you know. Kids, you know, they would go to school in the morning, I guess, or whatever. And then they just come on down to, I don't know if they were doing breakfast then back in those days, or I think they were at the school or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I noticed there was a lot of, you know, young people hanging around. So that's what we did. We just started out as kind of like a group home, you know, that type of thing. And it just developed into survival school, and then they, the survival school started, you know, different parts of the
Check out the Devil's Advocates Radio with Crute and Dumb.
You guys really make sense.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says he's cutting his G7 trip to Japan short.
I'm postponing the Australia portion of the trip and my trip to my stop in Papua New Guinea. In order to be back for the final negotiations with congressional leaders.
Till then, he's appointed staff to work with leaders on a deal to avoid default. Police confirm a heavily armed 18-year-old student killed three people yesterday in Farmington, New Mexico. Deputy Chief Kyle Dowdy.
Suspects roamed through the neighborhood and indiscriminately fired at least six houses and three vehicles.
The shooter had a history of mental health issues. The guy whose company created ChatGPT is now warning senators on Capitol Hill about the dangers of artificial intelligence. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman.
My worst fears are that we cause significant, we, the field, the technology, the industry, cause significant harm to the world.
Experts fear AI has the potential to replace jobs and spread misinformation. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Okay, let's get real.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired at your dead-end job? Want to stop worrying about money, health insurance? Get peace of mind right here, right now. Here's your chance to earn while you learn. Get smart. Call Smart Local 18 to learn how easy it is to be happy again to go to work. No matter what your situation is, everyone everywhere deserves an opportunity. Call now, 262-798-1818. That's 262-798-1818.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC It Back Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCItBack.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over on. If you are 45 and older, don't let but stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then.
Duck cleaning. Make sure to mention you want the AM 950 special. Zero res, backward or forward spells the same. With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 53, then sunshine Wednesday with a high of 78. Cafe Latte is unlike any restaurant you've ever experienced. Grab a tray and pick from their award-winning selections of soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Cafe Latte, Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or cafelatte.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, I'm here with Madonna Thunderhawk, and we are discussing the past, and we just were talking a little bit about the survival school that her son asked for. And I just want to say, Madonna, I got to meet your son, and what a gentle giant he is. What you ought to be proud of him. What a really nice guy he was.
Yeah, he's pretty quiet.
Oh, that's a good one. So you did the school, and then you moved on, and then also I know that you were a part of the Black Hills Alliance. You were a co-founder of that, and how did that go? The dangerous levels of high radiation in the water supply that you were fighting. I mean, here's another thing that you had to pull up your bootstraps and go and speak your truth. Do you remember that era very well?
Oh yeah, we well, you know, after Wounded Knee, the early 70s and stuff, the feds came down really hard on American Indian movement. And of course, they targeted the men. You know, the women were kind of like invisible anyway. So then we organized the Women of All Red Nations. And so we could carry on the work of the movement. And as a result of that, we became involved with, first of all, the rest of the country was in the No Nukes movement era, you know. They had that what was that thing that happened over, where was it, in the East? Anyway, they had a meltdown there at one of those.
Oh yeah, what was it? Mile High, not Mile High. Three Mile Island.
Yeah, Three Mile Island. Yeah. Anyway, so that was kind of nationwide. You know, there was a lot of the, especially the young people were really up in arms over that. Then we started the Women of All Red Nations. One of our organizers, Lorelei DeCora. She was taking nurses training at the time at the Pine Ridge Hospital on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Mm-hmm. And she came back one time and she said, you know what? I noticed that all the rooms are full and the hallway is full of women. And so she said, we really wouldn't, you know, so I was asking, trying to find out what was going on. And they said, well, we don't know what's causing it or whatever, but they're having what they call, they labeled it spontaneous abortion. So she said, what in the world is that? And they said, well, they're losing their babies between 2 and 4 months pregnancy. So then we started wondering, wait a minute, what's going on here? So we kind of decided what to. So then we decided, well, maybe it could be the water, could be the air, whatever. So we started testing the water, and sure enough, we found out the high levels of radiation on the Pioneers Reservation. So we figured it had to be the groundwater system. We didn't know if the aquifers were... We learned about water real fast, you know? And we got partnered with people that were in the No Nukes movement locally, non-natives, and we organized the Black Hills Alliance of, you know, cowboys and Indians.
Yeah.
To fight the land and the water.
That's exciting. And you were part of the Women of All Red Nations then, Warren, is that, that mm-hmm. I got a t-shirt from that, a remake t-shirt of that. That's exciting. And that's where, I remember you ran into one of the symposiums we did, and Winona LaDuke was on, and you called her No Nukes LaDukes. I remember that. That was hilarious.
That's when I first met her. She was just a young college student then, you know, and that's because she was really into that, you know,
mm-hmm.
No Nukes movement. So that's what we called it. No Nukes for Dukes.
That was funny. And it's always funny, too, to see because you were a doer. And, you know, I just have to say this, too, Madonna. You know what I'm doing now. My real job is working for Ho-Chunk Nation as a legislator. And I always remember asking you, how did you get all these things done? And You said less people were making decisions and things got done faster. And I always think of that, you said that. And can you elaborate on that?
Well, first of all, again, we were a movement of families, okay? Like, for example, Russell Means, everybody knew him as the leader of the American Indian Movement. We're first cousins. You know, our mothers are our sisters, and we were raised as brothers and sisters. All of you, you know, my aunt had the four boys, and my mom had the three girls. And we were all spaced, you know, right in between, you know? So we all grew up that way. So it was, you know, your strong family ties is what made the movement what it was, okay? So naturally, you listen to your family, which means an extension of your community. So that was what was the driving force of the American Indian Movement was. It was people-based. It had nothing to do with age, nothing to do with gender, you know, it was just your people. And the people's issues, not one or two people deciding what you're gonna protest about. You know, it was community based.
So you guys got these things done and decided to do things because your family agreed, and then you moved on it.
And wow. we had the elders behind us. I mean, they would just show up. I mean, that was our strength. We always knew they had our back. So when you got the elders behind you, you know that, you know, and they just gave us just like go and do, you know, we got your back. So
wow.
That was our strength too.
That is a strength, and that's a powerful to have the elders behind you, in such a good way. Yeah, you know, back up again and talk a little bit about the survival school. I you know, for me, my Gaga, my mother, and myself, you know, I'm 60, about to be 62 in a couple weeks here, and we lost our language and our way until people like you came out in front and really made us proud to be natives. And I mean, you lived through, and I did too, in 1978, you know, we could practice our own religion. And that was something, I was 17 years old in high school before we could do anything like that. And it's amazing to look back and I can't even imagine, you know, when you were younger too, at 17 years old, that all these rules, these laws, these rivers were being dammed up, and we were losing land, and now we're talking land back, and there's things that are happening because of the activism and the leadership that you had and the elders behind you. So it's again, I'm just so grateful to have you on the show, because you lived through that. You didn't. You're a doer, and that's just amazing. And just all the history that you've lived through, that, you know, we have a long ways to go as Native Americans, but compared to when I was young, we've come a long, long way.
Yeah, that's true. Same thing for me, you know, my generation. But I remember my mom and my parents talking back in the day, and they were talking with other people, right? And I happened to overhear them, and she said, well, the young people, what they're doing, she said, they're doing what we should have done.
Hmm.
She said, but we didn't. She said, so that's why my parents and the family were in total support of what we were doing, because they understood it was all land-based, community-based, treaty rights, all of that, you know, and it all just was, it was already there. You know, we just had to pick up the struggle, pick up the fight, you know?
Right. Well, it's funny too, land back, treaty rights. And, you know, they stopped asking me here in Minnesota to do land acknowledgments, because that's for them to acknowledge that, like, Minnesota's Lakota, Dakota land, and Wisconsin's Ho-Chunk. And I always just say, well, if you want me to do a land acknowledgement, my land acknowledgement is give us our land back. You've had it long enough, and so they stopped asking me. but I mean, that's it, right? It's like, you know, we are letting these people, we've been here for tens of thousands of years, and we're letting this other group of people on our land for right now. And I know Clyde Belcourt always said, hey, you know, you've been using our land and rent's due, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way I feel. It's we've been here three millenniums, you know, we've been here so long and we're still here. And that's the exciting thing about having this show and having people like you on the show is that, you know, we're not dinosaurs. We're not people that are no longer here. We're in the community and we're vocal and we're still here. And it's always good to remember that and have. And look back at our past in a good way, and especially since the 60s when we were working hard and out there. And, you know, we struggled with land back. We had land taken away from us. It wasn't given away freely. We fought to keep our land. And as you know, the Ho-Chunks were removed, and that's they say we were removed, but it's really we fought to stay here, and they fought to come back. And we're not these passive people like the news and everybody wants to make out that we are. But again, you know, your group of your generation and people that really fought for our rights. It's happening, but it's slowly happening. But you guys really opened up the genie in the bottle. Hey, Madonna, we got one last break, and I wanna ask you when we come back, what can our young ones do? And I have a question for you. And how do you see the future of Native Americans across Turtle Island? We're here. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Madonna Thunderhawk, Warrior Woman.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Wait, we didn't hear Madonna howl. Darn. Okay. Well, let's do it again for Madonna, Haley.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl.
Thank you. Peeny Geegee Madonna. Wow, this has gone so fast. We only have like 9 minutes left to the show. We're going to have to do this again, and I'm going to have to I'm just like really overwhelmed with happiness that you're on the show and just talking about things. And Haley has a question here, and I'm going to ask it for her. And she's asked she's a Gen Z. And she said, what advice do you have for the next generation that's going to fight for the same things? What kind of advice do you have for the young warriors?
Well, yeah, I get that question a lot, you know, and it's not that, I mean, when you think about it, as indigenous, I don't know, English words are, there's always a new word that comes up, but I like indigenous, kind of has better sound, I think. Anyway, our issues don't change. Okay, because we are original. We're from here. Okay, we're from right where we stand. Okay, there's no gene pool for us in Europe or anywhere else. It's right here. So keep that in mind, that we don't have to go looking for an issue. We don't have to go, you know, wondering what we need to fight for, you know. Just know your history. Know the history of your people. And what your ancestors did so you can stand here. You know, and you decide, because that's the responsibility, it's what it is. You know, and everybody has their own individual take on what their responsibility is. If it's to just maintain alcohol and drug-free life, hey, that's really important. That's a struggle right there, you know, and that's an amazing thing. Being a good parent, being a good student, whatever you decide, you take that on, you know, as a responsibility. Because look what your ancestors did. So we don't need to be, we need guidance, yes, on specific things, but just know your history and know your family history. Know your people's history and the history of the land where you stand and what your ancestors did so that you could be standing here. So that's it. And you don't need anybody's permission. And always keep in mind, we'll never, ever be homeless. Houseless, yes, but never homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So just trust your own. And the young people today, with all the new technology and everything, to me it's exciting. You know, what can you, the organizing that can be done, you know, it's just amazing, you know. And I think back to our day, we didn't even have, people had telephones, but we didn't. You had to have long distance in our day, you know. There's a newspaper, but there was no Indian media. There was nothing, you know, we just had the word of mouth. And I guess that's why we were more action oriented, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you young people have it all in front of you, you know, go with it. Just pick it up and go. And always remember, for your sake of your ancestors, land back. That's the key word, land back.
Yes. Wow. That's inspiring. And the young ones need to use what they have in front of them, like you guys used. And I imagine some people didn't have phones, and you had to do smoke signals. Ho! No, just no.
Yeah, we did.
But back then, these kids don't know this, but long distance was super expensive. It was really. And if you used a payphone, you had better had a lot of quarters and dimes and nickels.
A lot of quarters and dimes. Yep. So it was tough, but we made it happen.
Well, we got a few minutes here, and one of the things that we kind of chatted about over Messenger was that the anniversary of Kent State that you were asked to speak about. What are your thoughts about that and Vietnam War and, you know, the militarization of police? And it was the military, the National Guard that was there at Kent State.
Yeah, that was just amazing. But I was excited to go because I thought I would live long enough that I would be able to go to that campus, because I remember when it happened. You know, I remember hearing about it. And so basically what we thought at the time was,
if they're going to turn their guns on their own children, they're going to kill their own. What, you know, look what they, what are they going to do to us? You know, and sure enough, a few years later, there's standoff at Wounded Knee, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we knew what was coming because they did it to their own. Right. So that was the lesson there that, that we learned, you know? But at that time, the amazing thing for me at the time was that it just showed what you can do. And young people have that the strength and they're willing to do, you know. And so when young people are on the move, change happens.
Yeah.
So that just goes on, you know. That's just not for one era, you know, but that's when the most of the change happens.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, so this show started 7 years ago, well over 7 years now, because of Standing Rock, because of all the misinformation. And we've been on, you know, going on 8 years, and it's because of all the misinformation that was coming out of the news, or very little news. And I think there's been a new wave since Standing Rock, whether it's movies, TV, young warriors coming about. What are your thoughts? Because I know you were at Standing Rock too, right, with us all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just amazing. Well, I usually look at through the filter of my own people or what's happening in the Indian country, you know, and stuff. But the thing that was amazing to me was the gathering of our people. Mm. That was the first time since the Battle of Little Bighorn that the whole Ochete Shakoin, the whole seven council fires of the great Sioux Nation came together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, to me, that was, you know, a historic happening. But also because of the social media and technology nowadays, it went worldwide. So we had a representative delegation or whatever of every indigenous people on this planet. There was a delegation that came to Standing Rock. Because we were there. We watched it happen. We were up on the hill right where the media tent was.
Mm-hmm.
And
we called it Facebook Mountain, remember?
Yeah. Facebook, yeah. But everybody that came in the gate, they sent them up that hill. Because they went into the registration tent or whatever they called it.
The media room, right.
Yeah, the media, and they signed up, you know. So we got to see everybody that came to the camp, and it was just amazing happening, you know.
Yeah, they brought their flags. There were all those flags, and
yes.
It was. I was there during Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving weekend, and cars were coming in like constantly. They were lined up coming into the camp for days. And it was We were probably the second largest city in the Dakotas there, because there were so many. There was 20,000 people there. And then, what was it, 2 weeks later, that's when the military, former vets came. And then Obama finally did something about it. But that's another story.
another show.
Exactly. Madonna, we're ending the show right now. And I just want to thank you so, so, so much for coming on. We have to do this again really soon. You're a living history and so inspirational. I want to just say, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. You take care, brother.
You know, and remember, ho-wa. Right on. Hey, that was Madonna Thunderhawk. And if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office.
Horizon Healthcare helps individuals recover from the devastating effects of mental illness and drug dependency. They're currently seeking a first shift office administrative assistant to join their Waukesha team. Qualifications include a high school diploma and basic computer skills. Starting pay is $18 per hour. Contact Tiffany Sanchez now at 414-841-2972. That's 414-841-2972. Join the Horizon Healthcare team today. Contact Tiffany Sanchez at 414-841-2972.
Micro Nando's World. Mike Crivello's Camera Center help you start your family photo album by turning your digital images into gorgeous 4x6-inch prints on 2 for Tuesday. Buy one print, get the second free, up to 100 prints. In-store only at 181st and Blue Mound.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.